Our first reading is entitled Only Breath by Rumi. Not Christian or Jew or Muslim, not Hindu, Buddhist, Sufi or Zen, not any religion or cultural system. I am not from the East or the West, not out of the ocean or up from the ground. Not natural or ethereal, not composed of elements at all. I am not an entity of this world or in the next, did not descend from Adam and Eve or any origin story. My place is placeless, a trace that is traceless, neither body or soul. I belong to love. I have seen the two worlds as one. First, last, outer, inner, only breath. 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 Breathing. 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 Human being. Our second reading from E.E. Cummings, who, by the way, was a member of a UU congregation. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, I'm alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the no of all nothing, human, merely being, doubt, unimaginable, you. Now the ears of my ears awake. Now the eyes of my eyes are opened. The human breath. We take a breath 60,000 times a day. The air enters our nose, where unwanted dust is filtered out. The air passes through our trachea and enters our lungs. The surface area of our lungs is 40 times greater than the surface area of our body. So imagine taking all the skin of your body, multiplying it 40 times, and then scrunching it up into something small enough to fit between the ribs. The lungs are intricately folded tissue where the oxygen atoms can enter the bloodstream. The oxygen passes through the exceedingly thin membrane into a capillary so small that the red blood cells are in single file as they flow along. The oxygen hitches a ride with a hemoglobin molecule, travels all over the body. It travels through an immense blood system, tens of thousands of miles long. And finally, through another minute capillary, passes into an individual cell. Could be a brain cell, kidney cell, your little toe cell. There it will meet a molecule from the food which you ate, which also traveled through the bloodstream. It will be a brief but very passionate encounter in which energy will be released, called cellular respiration. The energy gives new life to the cell, and it's happening in every cell in your body at this moment a billion times. Carbon dioxide is produced and must take the long journey back through the blood system, through the lungs, and out your nose. Floating through the air, it becomes the life-giving breath of the green things, the plants, the flowers, the trees. We humans breathe in harmony with the green earth. We are breathing partners with our planet. Now, those oxygen atoms which we breathe 60,000 times a day, when were they created? They were created billions of years ago. The same oxygen which you inhaled may have been in the lungs of a dinosaur. The air which we breathe today may have been in the lungs of a Chinese child a few days ago. Now, I would call that a miracle. Webster's dictionary defines a miracle as, quote, an extraordinary, unusual wonder or marvel. Isn't an immense bloodstream 50,000 miles long in a small body feeding every cell an unusual wonder? Isn't the journey of an oxygen atom around the world and through the centuries, isn't that a marvel? Isn't breathing back and forth with trees and plants an extraordinary thing to be doing? So I say, according to Webster's dictionary, breathing is a miracle. We don't need supernatural events to have a miracle. We only need to take a breath. Wow. The miracle of life given to me again and again and again. That's why it's called inspiration. The word inspiration from my Oxford dictionary is defined as one, a divine prompting, and two, the act of drawing breath. So I say the Oxford dictionary is calling breathing a divine prompting. Who is prompting this breath we're taking? Are we breathing, or is the earth breathing us? Are we breathing, or is the universe breathing us? Are we breathing, or is God breathing us? The human breath in the Bible is considered sacred. In the first book of the Jewish and Christian scripture, we read, the Lord God formed humans from the dust of the ground and breathed into the human nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. The humus, the dirt, became a living being by the breath. This theme is repeated many times in the scriptures, in the book of Job. As long as my breath is in me, then the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. I think that's a lovely metaphor. The Spirit of God is in our nostrils with every breath breathing us. The religions of Hinduism and Buddhism have placed spiritual importance on the breath and focusing on how to use the breath to deepen our spiritual experience. According to the Buddhist scholar Dr. Walpola Rahula, quote, one of the best known and practical examples of meditation taught by the Buddha is called the mindfulness or awareness of in and out breathing. Let your mind watch your in and out breathing. Forget all other things. After a certain time period, you will experience just a split second when your mind is fully concentrated on your breathing. This slight moment is full of joy. If you go on practicing regularly, you may repeat this experience again and again for longer and longer periods. Of all the religions, Hinduism has made the most comprehensive study of using the human breath in meditation. The ancient Hindu scripture, the Chandogya Upanishad, proclaims, "The whole universe is divine, and the divine is the breath of life." The divine is breathing the universe into being. In Hinduism, the breath is the link between the human and the divine, between our human, secular, habitual awareness and the awareness that we live in a sacred, mysterious, energetic universe. And this is facilitated by breathing techniques called pranayama. And some of the pranayamas are very fast, you hyperventilate. Others are very slow. Some involve simply watching the breath. Others you use a mantra or a sound along with the breath. And this has been part of Hinduism for 4,000 years, using the human breath to go past our daily awareness into a sacred awareness. So modern psychology is catching up. It's also been studying the human breath and how to use it for the psychology of human beings. And it begins with common sense. As we have different emotions, we breathe differently. When we're frightened, we may hold in our breathing. When we panic, we may go into rapid breathing. When we're sad, we may sigh with a deep breath. When we're excited, we may breathe more rapidly. So our emotions are influencing how we breathe. And any emotion which is chronically held inside of us from past trauma or pain or simply habit will affect our breathing pattern. So when we unconsciously hold certain emotions, then our diaphragm muscles actually tighten and we don't breathe as deeply. And psychologists are learning how to use the breath to release these held-in emotions. I have a friend who works with teenage gang members in Los Angeles. He teaches them a breathing technique as part of anger management. He wrote to me, quote, "The benefits of this teaching this breathing technique to gang members in Los Angeles have far exceeded our wildest expectations. The number of fights, lockups, and incidences at the youth center have markedly decreased since each teen learned the breathing technique." So psychologists are learning what the ancient practices of Hinduism and Buddhism have been teaching for centuries. I once had a Hindu monk say to me, "You must learn to breathe into your suffering. You must learn to breathe into your suffering." We all suffer. Sometimes we suffer terribly, whether we're in physical pain or emotional pain. We tend to hold our breath in and we freeze these emotions, sometimes for years, sometimes for decades. So we're freezing the depth of our breathing because we're freezing our emotions. And when we breathe into our pain, we release that constriction. And the feelings may start flowing out, which allow the possibility of healing and of loving and growing. I know it takes courage to breathe into our suffering. It's not easy. The watching of the human breath near the time of death is a sacred experience. You can receive from hospice a description of how the human breath changes as a person nears death. As we watch our loved one breathing, and the breathing becomes irregular, a tremendous mystery starts to envelop us. And when the breathing stops, there is a query, where did the breath go? For me, a sense of mystery fills the room. There's a sense that inspiration, has drawn back its own breath to itself. Our loved one is free. We, the living, breathe into our sadness and our love. During this homily, we've all been breathing about 700 times. You have inhaled ancient atoms of oxygen created in far gone stars. You've circulated them around your body, given life to every cell, sent back carbon dioxide to the green things, done it all so effortlessly. Who did all the work? Billions of years of evolution did the work so we could have this miracle of breathing effortlessly. Breath is the gift of life. It is worth more than all the gold in the world. Somebody says, you can win the mega jackpot, $750 billion, or you give me your breath. Which one do you want? That's how wealthy we are with life, with every single breath. Breathing is an act of inspiration. It is a divine prompting. Yet we all take it for granted. And instead, we worry too much. We blame, we complain, and we criticize ourselves harshly. Fortunately, our breath can help us return to our center. If at any time, day or night, in a boring business meeting, at 3 a.m. when you're anxious, anytime, you can just go back to your breathing and feel the breath move in and out of your body. The sacredness of life moving in and out of your body. And you find quite spontaneously, you start to let go of the worry and return to your center, return to your gratitude. You can find the sacredness of life in the simplicity of each inhalation and exhalation. So no more talk. Let's do some breathing meditation. During the next 6 minutes or so, I'll guide you through several traditional breathing pranayamas. In the Buddhist scripture, the first meditation taught by the Buddha after enlightenment, as Dr. Wahula wrote, in and out breathing. Just watch your in and out breathing for the next minute. Thoughts will come and go, sensations will come and go, and that's all fine. Just whenever you remember, go back to experiencing your breath in and out of your body. Now I invite you to use a simple breathing practice from Zen Buddhism. Feel your abdomen, your stomach area, rise and fall with each breath. That's it, that's the whole practice. Just feel your abdomen rise and fall with each breath you take for the next minute. Now I invite you to use a simple breathing practice from Hinduism, which is simply taking a deep breath and then holding it for several seconds and then releasing it. So for the next minute, take deep breaths, hold them for just a couple seconds and then release them. 1 minute. Now allow your breath to go back to a spontaneous rhythm and just watch yourself breathe for the next minute. Thoughts may come and go, that's fine. Just be aware of your breathing. In the Christian tradition, there's the following meditation. Every time you inhale, say to yourself, just to yourself, a name for the holy. It could be love, peace, God, beloved. And each time you exhale, say again quietly to yourself that name for the holy. So pick a name that you'd like or a word you'd like to say. And as you breathe in, say it to yourself. And as you breathe out, say it to yourself. For the next minute. And we'll take one final minute of simply watching your breath and close the meditation by the ringing of the singing bowl. And I invite you now to come out of your meditation. So when you're looking for a little peace in your life, looking for where the sacredness of life might be, it's as close to you as you're breathing.